Today's shiur is Masechta Beya Daf Chabeis, and we will begin on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis at the Mishnah. It says Gemara, Shlosh Dvarim, there are three areas of Hilchus Yontif, says the Mishnah, where Gamliel is a Machmer, Kedivir B'Shamay. Gamliel was Machmalik B'Shamay. Even though there are other places in Shas where Gamliel holds like B'Shamay, here we're speaking about Hilchus Yontif. What our Mishnah means to teach us is that in Hilchus Yontif, there are three places that Rav Gamliel holds like Beis Shammai. So the Ramban, actually the son of the Ramban, makes a comment. He says that when our Mishnah says that Rav Gamliel is Machma like Beis Shammai, the Mishnah's wording is very precise. What the Mishnah means to say is that really Reb Gamliel does paskin like Beis Hillel. Just in his personal conduct, he followed like Beis Shammai. But however, that the Ramban, he says, the Ben HaRamban quotes certain Rishonim that held that way. But he says he himself actually does not agree. And he holds that it's not just that a chumrah. It's mashma that he held like that. That Rabbi Gamliel held that was the halacha. Because if it was just a chumrah, he would have no right to be machmer in a way that other people would learn from that chumrah. And the Tosfos Yontif, picking up on that theme, says we learn a tremendous lesson here. That even though Rabbi Gamliel was from the descendants of Hillel, so he really should be following the opinion of Beis Hillel, still, he held that in these halachas that we're about to begin to learn now, Beis Shammai is correct, and he followed the halacha as he saw it was correct, even though he himself was a descendant of Beis Hillel. So, B'shlosh Dvarim, Gamliel Machmer, in three areas is Gamliel Machmer, Kedivri Beis Shammai. One is Ein Taim L'Sacham L'Chatchila B'Yontif. One should not put, in those days it was very common, that the way they kept food warm for Shabbos was be putting it under blankets or other materials that kept it warm. And he says that when Yontif is an Erev Shabbos, one should not make hatmana. Vein zoikvim a menorah b'yontif, a menorah that fell and you want to reassemble it, the halacha is you should not be allowed to do that on Yontif. Vein oifim pitin gritzim, we're not allowed to bake on Yontif breads that are thick. El rakikim, do we have to make breads that are thin? So Rishalmi explains that the reason we're not supposed to make gritzim, only rakikim, is because when you make thin breads, then there is a lot of work involved. When you make thicker breads, there's less work involved. The Meiri has just the opposite pshat. Amar Rav Gamliel says, "Man shba abba, from I always saw my home, my father's home. Lo'ayoyfim pat pritim gritzim ela rikikin. Amar le'manas le'beis avicha." So they said, "What should we do with the way your father acted?" Shem machmir malatzmam. They were machmir for themselves. Or makil and kol Yisrael. For themselves, they were machmir, but for the rest of Klal Yisrael, they were makil. Lius oifim prita gritzim, that they allowed to bake all types of bread. Afilu, they even chararim, breads that are baked actual on the coals. He said all type. They allowed all types of bread to be made. The Rosh Masechta Nida says that one has no right to be machmer in a subject in halacha unless there's a raya that is the proper psak. But if somebody wants to be machmer for his own personal behavior, says the Rosh, that one may be machmer, but he should be very careful not to put that chumra into writing. Because when you put such a chumra into writing, he says, then people will assume that that's the halacha. Certainly, says the Rosh, one shouldn't publicize such a psak in telling it in a drasha to people, because people will think that that is the halacha, when it's not actually the halacha, it's just somebody's personal chumra. The Sha'al Tshuvas Hilchus Ketanis discusses a shaila where you have a Talmid Chacham that knows a certain halacha that it's mutter. And the only reason one should be machmer is that it shouldn't cause that he should make a mistake in the future. What's going to be halacha? Are they allowed to be mekel or machmer? So he says that we find here the one is allowed to be machmer. He says, however, we don't find the one is allowed to be mekel. Having said that, the Shas HaTshuvas Yad Eliyahu says we have to always understand the repercussions of what we're doing. And if at the repercussion of what we're doing could come to people or me myself will come to make a mistake, then one should avoid doing that. If the repercussions aren't going to be that way, then we could be more lenient. So Mishnah said that ain't time to sacham l'chatchila b'yontav. The one can't put food away erev yontav for Shabbos to keep hot. Ask the Gemara, Hechidami, exactly what are the circumstances that are being discussed in our Mishnah? Either onach erev tevshilin, if this person left an erev tevshilin, so as we learned at the beginning of the parak, if somebody leaves an erev tevshilin, then you can prepare for Shabbos. And if that's the case, my tama the Beishamai, why would Beishamai be machmer? If, on the other hand, says the Gemara, Deloy onach erev tevshilin, and if this person didn't leave an erev tevshilin, my tam de beisil. How could beisil be lenient? You have to have a erev tevshilin. And it seems the beisil is mekel, because the way to understand our Mishnah, the Mishnah says that in these areas, Rabbi Gamliel was machmel and beis shamai. It seems the beisil was mekel. Answers the Gemara, Alamar Afuna Lailam, Emalach Shlayanich Erev Tevshilin. The person did not leave an Erev Tevshilin. And the halacha is that Kedei Chayov, when if a person didn't leave a Erev Tevshilin, he is allowed to prepare Lekavit Shabbos as much as he needs, Sharolei Labonim. He's allowed to leave over what he needs for survival, says the Gemara, because Rav Huna Latameh, Rav Huna here is following opinion that he cited elsewhere. Damar Rav Huna Mishlo Yenich Erev Tevshilin. If somebody didn't leave an Erev Tevshilin, Oifen Loi Pas Achas, he's allowed to bake one bread Lekavit Shabbos. Mavshilin Loi Kedera Achas, he's allowed to cook one pot of food. Madlikin Saner, and we're allowed to light a candle, if even though he didn't have an Erev Tevshilin. Mishim Rav Yitzchak Amru, Aft Tzoyin Loi Da Cotton, we're even allowed to roast a small fish. The Maril writes that this halacha, that if somebody didn't leave an Erev Tevshilin, we could be lenient, even refers to a person who deliberately did not leave an Erev Tevshilin. This halacha still applies. The Rashba says, of course, as we learned earlier in our Masechta, that if you sell or you transfer ownership of your food to somebody else, then that other person could cook and bake with your food. So obviously, says the Rashba, we're speaking here about a situation where I did not transfer my food to somebody else. So the Mivcha Shloima asks, we've learned many times in our shiurim, we've discussed the concept of ribi b'shiurim, that if you're already cooking a pot, you're allowed to be mekel. So the question that the Mivcha Shloima discusses is if they're already cooking in this pot, if they're already cooking a pot for this person, as Chazal Rabbi Huna says, allow you to cook for a person who didn't leave an Erev Tevshilin. So once I'm cooking in the pot, shouldn't I be allowed to cook even more? So he says that this is a special rule. Because this person did not leave an Erev Tevshilin, Chazal was strict that he only could cook the minimum and add any more. So Taisva says, based on our Gemara, that was saying that Madlikin Asaner, that this individual who didn't leave Erev Tevshilin, we light a candle for him. From here we see that when one leaves an Erev Tevshilin and he says the Nusach, he's supposed to include in the Nusach that he's relying on the Erev Tevshilin, Ladluke Sharga, that he should be able to light candles. And even though, says the Rosh, that when we leave an Erev Tevshilin, we spoke earlier in Amasechta, we have a cooked food, we have a baked food, we don't have a candle, but we still have to say that we want to be able to light a candle because of the Erev Tevshilin. The Rashba, however, disagrees. And the Rashba says it could be that lighting a candle doesn't require an Erev Tevshilin. But he does say, L'cham b'chila, when one's saying the Nusach of the Erev Tevshilin, he should say, L'adlukei Sharga. Tosfos says But when we're saying now the Madlikin Lashaner, that it can light one candle, says Tosfos, only one candle may be lit. You don't have a right to light more candles. The Ramban's son disagrees, and he says that you're allowed to light as many candles as you are allowed to. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that even if somebody didn't leave an Erev Tov Shilin, he could light a candle. He says the Rambam, and that's what it seems that you, the opinion of the Rambam and the Ramban. The halacha is, according to the Ramah, if when you left an Erev Tov Shilin, you're supposed to say the Nusach, and if somebody, says the Ramah, didn't say what he meant, though it's allowed to do all these malachas, then he can't rely on the Erev Tov Shilin. The Taz disagrees, and he says, if you said, if somebody says, I'm going to rely on my Erev to do whatever I need to do with the Erev, that is adequate. But the Taz makes a very interesting point. That's only adequate if you did not start singling out and specifying what you're relying with on your Erev. But if you specify that you're relying on your Erev only for certain things, so then what you didn't say would not be reliable. So the question is, the Bezman Azeh, that we don't rely on the candle that we're lighting on the table. Why, certainly, if somebody didn't leave an Erev Tov Shilin and we're only being lenient because Kedei Chayev, or even in a case where we did leave an Erev Tov Shilin, why would we be allowed to light a candle? The candle's being lit L'Kavod Shabbos, it's not being lit L'Kavod Yontif, and it's not absolutely necessary. So I saw the Rebbe Yoshev explains that a candle that's lit can be used. If I need to transfer a fire, I need that lit candle. And therefore, says Rebbe Yoshev, nowadays lighting a candle on Erev Shabbos is not just for covered Shabbos, there's a need for it in the house. Rav Shlomo Zalman takes a different approach. He says, once candle lighting on Shabbos afternoon, Yontov afternoon, has become such an important mitzvah, that it becomes such an important mitzvah that it's no less important and no less significant than anything we do L'Kavod Shabbos and L'Kavod Yontov that we're learning when Yontov is an Erev Shabbos, we could be lenient. And therefore, says Shlomo Zalman, that even in a case where I didn't leave an Erev Tov Shilin and the Gemara says we could be lenient, this even Bezman Azeh we could be lenient. Furthermore, I saw the Paiskim say that the minhag is in most shuls, they light candles. Now certainly the candles that are lit in shul are not lit to fulfill the mitzvah of Lakas Neris, nor are they lit to give light. But still, since it's a minhag in most shuls that they light candles, that's a good enough reason that we should be allowed to light the candles L'Kavod, that we should be allowed to light the candles L'Kavod Shabbos, even if you didn't leave an Erev Tov Shilin, or certainly if you left an Erev Tov Shilin. Tanya Nami Hochin says the Gemara, so too that we learn in a Braisa, Mishalei Niach Erev Tov Shilin, if somebody didn't leave an Erev Tov Shilin, Oifon Loi Pas Achas, we could bake a bread, Matayman Loi Kedair Achas, Madlikin Loi Saner, Mechamen Loi Kitoin, Achad, we prepare from a cup or a pitcher of water, V'yesh Oimer Aft Soilem Loi Dag Cotton. We could even roast a small fish. Another way of understanding our Mishnah, Rav Amal Oilem Hiniach, he did leave an Erev Tov Shilin. However, Shani Atmana, when we do Atmana on Friday afternoon, Mucham Milsa Dadat the Shabbos Kavit. So as the Rishonim explained, the reason we could cook on Friday afternoon is because we have the concept of Hoyl, that what I'm doing Friday afternoon, I'm really doing because a guest may show up and I'm going to give him that food and I'm cooking. But Atmana is clearly done on behalf of the next day. So when Hatmana is really clearly being done for the next day, we can't say that Hoyl, and still, he says, that, and that's why Beis Shammai does not rely on the Erev Tov Shilin to allow Hatmana. Ask the Gemara Esrei Abai, so Abai asked the question to Rava, Chananya Amir Beis Shammai Amrim, Enim Kein, En Oifer Om Kein Erev Bepas. One cannot rely on the Erev Tov Shilin to bake unless he left a baked food with the Erev Tov Shilin. Vein mafshalin, you can't rely to cook with your Erev Tov Shilin. Elm ken ir betavshal, unless you had a cooked food. Vein taimnim, You have to have food already in your home that you did hatmana with. But what is clearly evident here? If you had such food, you would be allowed to do hatmana. And still the point that Rava made is still accurate. The mucha milsa that after the Shabbos covered, that what you're doing when you make hatmana Friday afternoon is that you're doing it on behalf of Shabbos. Elam Abaya, how do we understand the Mishnah? The Beis Shammai says that Atmana may not be done. Kigon she'ir v'lezeh v'lo ir v'lezeh. He left the cooked food and he left the baked food. So he could rely on the air for the cooked and baked food, but he did not do any Atmana. And our Mishnah is following the opinion of Chananya, leave the Beis Shammai, that if you did not leave a food with which you did hatmana, then you would not be, if you did not have such a food included in your Erev Tavshilin, you would not be allowed to rely on it to do hatmana on Friday Erev Yontav afternoon. We learned further in our Mishnah, Vein Zoik Venes Menorah. You're not allowed to put together the Menorah. Ask the Gemara Maika of it. What is the issue that is the issue that Reish Shammai says you're not allowed to do so on Yontav? Amar Avchinen Bak Bisna, Hoch Menorah Shechol Yisoskinen. Our Mishnah is speaking about a menorah that's made out of pots, the mechsi kabayna. Putting together the menorah looks like you're constructing a menorah. And Beis Shammai Savri, and Beis Shammai's opinion is, yesh binya bekelim, that there is an issa to put together kelim. The machlokes, if this Beis Shammai holds its binyan deraisa, or Beis Shammai holds its only binyan derabbanan. Beis Hillel Savri, and Beis Hillel's opinion is, Ein binyan bekelim, vein stira bekelim, and there is no issue of putting together such a keli. So Tosfos asks that the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph teaches us that a menorah that's made out of pots, everybody agrees that you may not put together on Shabbos. So the question is, how are we learning in our Gemara that it is permitted? So Tosfos answers that they are speaking about Shabbos. But here, we're speaking about Yontif. Chazal were not as machmer on Yontif as they are in Shabbos. Another teretz, Tosfos suggests, is that the Gemara Masechta Shabbos is speaking about a menorah that's made out of parts that are completely separate from each other. Parts that are completely separate from each other that you're not allowed to put together. Here, we're just talking about that they're still attached and just tightening it. That's mutter. Another teretz that Tosfos Masechta Shabbos suggests is that the Gemara here is talking about that I'm tightening it, but I'm not tightening it very strongly. That's why it's mutter. But if I'm tightening it very strongly, there it would be usur. The Ra says that there's another concern, which he says is what the Gemara Masechta Shabbos means. And that is the concern of Shema Yitaka. You may make it very tight. So in a menorah that you can make very tight, that is osur. By a menorah can never be really tightened very strongly, it's mutter. The Meiri suggests that there's a difference between a menorah gedola and a menorah katana, a big menorah or a small menorah. And I saw that the Ramban wants to suggest it depends if putting the menorah together requires an umin, requires a professional, then it's osur. But if it can be done in a much simpler way, then it would be mutter. Says the Gemara, Ula Ikla Bei Rabbi Yehuda. Ula came to the home of Rabbi Yehuda on the night of Yontif. Kam Shammai, and the assistant of Ula got up, and Zakav Lei Lekarge, Shargei, put together the menorah. Eser Rabbi Yehuda, and he put together the candle in a way that the candle should now be burning better. How could that be permitted? If somebody puts oil in a candle, then it's considered they did the melacha maver. And if he takes out some oil, so here, by tilting the menorah, you're doing the melacha of kibui. So how could it be mutter? Because even on yontif, kibui is asur. So Ula responded, I did not realize what the Shamash was doing. If I would have realized what the Shamash was doing, I would have certainly never allowed him to do it. So here we're learning that if somebody puts oil in a candle, he's chai because of maver, because he's causing that the candle should light burn should be light longer. And the Shulchan Aruch Rav says that from here we see that the melacha of Mavir is that making that something should burn longer is considered the melacha of Mavir. And I saw there's a Medrash. The Medrash says, the Medrash in Parshas Tetzaveh, that there was a tremendous mace that happened with the menorah, that they lit the menorah once at the beginning of the year, and it lasted all year long. So Rav Chaim Brisker asked the Imre Emes, we know that there's a mitzvah to light the menorah every day. So how do they do the lighting the menorah every day if they lit the menorah once and it lasted all year? So the Imre Emes answered to Rav Chaim, our Gemara just said that if you add a little oil to the menorah, that's called mavir. So what they did was that they lit a little oil to the menorah every day. And that's how they did the melacha of hadlakas neres. But then I saw, according to that, we know that there was another mitzvah every day. And that was the mitzvah of disha mizbeach ha-menorah. You have to clean the menorah. But if the menorah never got extinguished, how do you do the melacha of dishon, the avoid of dishon? So I saw that the Rabbi Yoshua suggested that the melacha of dishon is only a melacha that we're obligated to do if the menorah goes out. So part of the avoida is clean it out and then relight it. But if the menorah doesn't get extinguished, so there is no mitzvah of dishon. Mitzvah of dishon is not an absolute mitzvah. The mitzvah of dishon is very much connected to when I have to relight the menorah. But I saw that the Sefer Meravson Igra asks on the Imre Emes that the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Chanukah, Simen Tov Reish Ein Hey, Sif Bey says that if when you lit your menorah, there wasn't enough oil in it, it doesn't help if you'll add oil later. You would have to extinguish the menorah and relight it with the right amount of oil. But he asks, if adding oil is considered a ma'isa hadlaka, so why do I have to extinguish it? Just let me add oil, that I should have enough oil. Why is it required to extinguish it? So he answers and he quotes Rav Michael Feinstein Zitzal, who says that we can't learn Hilchas Neiris Chanukah from Hilchas Shabbos. Because the purpose of lighting Chanukah candles and the purpose of lighting Shabbos candles are very different. The purpose of lighting Chanukah candles is for Pirsum Anais. And Pirsum Anais isn't accomplished when you just add some oil to the candle. Shabbos, the mitzvah is that you should have candles on in your home. If you have a lot of candles if you have a candle on in your home, even though you didn't do a ma'isa hadlaka, it's mutter. Then we learned that if you take from that oil, the halacha is you did the melacha of kibui. And Tosfos explains the issue is not that you make the candle go out sooner. Tosfos' opinion is that gram kibui is not considered a melacha. Rather, Tosfos suggests the issue is that it's nira kemechaba. And then there's machlokes achroinim when Tosfos says that nira kemechaba is not an issa d'oraisa or issa d'rabbanan. However, the Rosh disagrees with Tosfos, and the Rosh holds that whenever you cause the candle to go out quicker, then the halacha is that's considered not just gram kibui, that's considered kibui, and it would be also to do on Shabbos in Yontif. Says the Gemara, Abaya Amarav Kan Vishari. One could take off from the top of a wick the coal that forms on top of the wick. Says the Gemara, Kanva, one may do so on Shabbos. There's a machloikus, what does this mean? Rashi explains that he was speaking about when the fire is on and it has this coal on top of the fire, and therefore you're allowed to take it off because you want to have a better fire on Yontif, which is mutav tzarech nefesh. Tosfos and the Rosh say that our Gemara is referring to a situation where the candle has already been extinguished, but you're doing this in order to be able to light the candle better, and if your goal is to be able to light the candle better, that already is considered mutter because of Oichel Nefesh. Bominei Abba Mamartam Abaya. Mal Chabbos is in there. may one extinguish a candle, nay dover acher. Somebody wants to be able to have relations. One's not allowed to have relations in a room where there's a light, may extinguish the fire in order to have relations. Amalai, efshe b'ayis acher. You have no right because you could always go to a different home. Ask the Gemara, ein l'bayis acher mayer. But if you don't have another place to go, what would be the halacha? So the Gemara, efshe l'asas l'mechitza. And as the Karban Asanel explains, when the Gemara says, efshe l'asas l'mechitza, it means that you're making a mechitza that does not involve the melacha abinyan. Ain loy lasis mechitza. You don't have a piece of material to which to make a mechitza with. My what would be the halacha? So the gemara efshar look for like kli. You could put a keli on top of that candle, and of course you have to put it in a way, says the Mishnah Berurah, that there should be air, oxygen there, that you won't be extinguishing the candle. Ain loy kli. But let's say you don't have that option. My omle. So Abai said osur. Esvei, ask the Gemara, it says in a brayse, ein mechabnes abekas, kedei lochus aleihem. If somebody just wants to extinguish a piece of wood because you're worried that you don't want it to go to waste, you don't need the fire anymore, so you don't want it to get consumed, that's not a reason why you're allowed to extinguish a fire in Shabbos. However, vim b'shvil shlo yis'ashen abayis, if you're doing it because you don't want your home to get full of smoke, oi hagdeira, you don't want that the food in your pot should get ruined, mutter. So just like we're allowed to extinguish a fire for that purpose, why shouldn't we be allowed to extinguish the fire in order for an individual who wants to be able to have relations? Amalei, says the Gemara, he, that brisa which is so lenient, represents the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And we've discussed, Rabbi Yehuda holds that when the Torah says, oichel nefesh, it doesn't only allow oichel nefesh. He allows even machshir oichel nefesh, something which is a prepared, something that helps you do oichel nefesh. Because he says, when the Torah says, hu levada yasa lechem, it means kol sorcheichem. Anything that is to my benefit may be done. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda holds that this is included in that category. If I'm doing it just to help them, my pot, my food, my house should not get blackened. However, v'chi ka'am na'no, my psak, that I'm being machmer and not allowing the fire to be extinguished, goes according to Rabbanon, who are not lenient with Mechshir Eichel Nefesh. Are you allowed to extinguish a fire on Yontif? Says the Gemara, what is the situation? Certainly, where there's a situation of Sakonis Tafashis, like Kamebaile, because for Sakonis Tafashis, we're allowed to do whatever we need to do. I feel be Shabbos shari, and even on Shabbos we're allowed to do chilul Shabbos for sakonis tefoshes. Ki kamiboyle. The question is ibad momen, mai, and the Ra explains that ibad momen doesn't mean that you're going to lose money, but your food that you have on the fire won't be so tasty. What would be the halacha? Amalei, osur. So Rabbi said it's osur. Esvei asked Abaye the same question to Rabba. We just learned in a brisa. Hey, mechabnes abekas kedei lochus aleihem. Vim b'shvil yisashen abayis oya kedei remuta. So we see that we are quite lenient. So why are you being machmer? Answers the Gemara the same teretz. Hahi Rabbi Yehuda hi. That brisa represents the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Just like Rabbi Yehuda is lenient with machshirei echol nefesh, he'll be lenient here. V'chi kamim na'no. A question going according to the opinion of Rabbanan. Can somebody put some ointment in his eye for refuah on Yontif? Says the Gemara, Heichadik is sakana, if there's a situation, chas v'sholem, of sakonas tefoshes. Kigoin, rira, if there's moisture, liquid coming out of somebody's eye. Ditza, that he feels as if a needle is pricking his eye. Dama, there's blood in his eye. The muscle, the eye is constantly tearing. The kadachta, or the eye has heat. The tchilas ochla, or even just the beginning of any of these situations, loy mebayloy. That is not a question. That feel b'shabbashari. Even on Shabbos, one would be allowed to do anything. It's considered sakonas nefashos. Because the Gemara says, shiraika da'ayna, any eye disease, belibatalia, is connected to the heart. And therefore, of course, we could do whatever we need to do. At the end of the disease, so there's no sakana anymore. And it's not, the eye is not so strong, but there's no sakana. Mai, amalei, asur, eisvei. And he asked again the same question. We see how lenient we are. And he answered the same teretz. That price represents the opinion of Yehuda, who's very makel in Eichel Nefesh. He even allows Makshira Eichel Nefesh, but we're asking according to Rabbanim. A meme shar l'michel enim a nachri. A meme would allow somebody to have an eye treatment from a nachri, even b'Shabbos. Ikad amri. Others have a different version. Not this that is reporting that this is what he held, but a meme a gufe chal enim a nachri b'Shabbos. He allowed a nachri to do an eye treatment on his eye. Amalei Rav Asher l'meme. My datach. What are you? Why are you being lenient? Even though, as we've learned, one can't do a reform in Shabbos unless it's a situation of sakonas nefashos. Chazal said we can't apply medicine in Shabbos because Chazal made a gzeir because of shchikas amamonim that we shouldn't come to make medicine. But if it's done through a nachri, so it's only in issa d'rabbanon, we could be lenient. V'amrav Nuno, kol dover. She'ein by sakana, even if it's a situation that there is no sakana, ayma l'nachri v'aisa. We could ask a nachri to do it. But that says the Gemara, that wouldn't allow you, says Rav Asher to Amema, that would not allow you to have an akum help you. Because hani milahech d'lei masai ba'day. That's only if the nachri is doing whatever he's doing all by himself and you're not participating. Avamar kamasaya ba'day. You're participating. The ka'amitzu pasach. You're opening and closing your eye. So how could you be lenient? Amalei ikar azay d'kai kavasei. Rav Zvid agrees with me that you could allow a nachri to put an eye treatment on Shabbos Yontif. Aye, what about Messiah that you're helping? The Shanilei, and he holds Messiah in Beimamish. Just helping is not considered Messiah in Beimamish. So the Ritva asks that the Gemara Masech the Makis, Daf Chof Amabeis, teaches us, and this is the halacha, that if somebody is giving someone else a haircut and he's cutting off the payas, so not only is the one that cut off the payas over the lav and get Malkus, but even the person who is getting the haircut is Chai Malkus because he helped. So we see that Messiah helping is an issue. So the Ritva and the Taz both say there's a difference between the different levels of Messiah. Sometimes the Messiah is much more involved. There we don't say Messiah in Beimamish. When the Messiah is not involved, that not that involved, even though he's somewhat involved, we're more machma. But then I saw that Ritva says a different teretz. Ritva says, as the Gemara just said, that halacha is really Messiah ein beimamish. That somebody who's Messiah is not really doing anything. Just by the halacha payas, there's a special rule. Because the Torah uses the words loy sakifu, beloshen rabim. Why does the Torah use the word like sakifu beloshen rabim? The Torah wants to teach us that even that not just the person who's giving the haircut, but even the person who's receiving the haircut is over the lav. But that's a special din by loy sakifu. That din doesn't apply in other areas of halacha. Says the Gemara, mei mishara lemichel eina. A meme allowed somebody to have his eye, have the eye treatment through a Jew, beyond Tov Sheni is Rosh Hashanah. Because as we discussed at the beginning of our Masechta, Yom Tov Sheni in Chutz Laretz is much less serious. So here what's the issue of refuah, we could be more lenient, and we could, he says, even be more lenient in the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Ashi Lemeimer, Vamer Rava, haven't we learned, Meis B'Yantav Rishon, if somebody was Rechman Son, we have a Levaya on the first day Yantav, Yisaskabay Amim, only non-Jews could run that Levaya. B'Yantav Sheni, but if the Levaya is on the second day Yantav, Yisaskabay Yisrael, even Jews could do it, of course with limitations as we discussed. But Filu Shnei Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah, even the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, which as we discussed at the beginning of our Masechta, many hold that the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are Kedusha Achas, When it comes to a levaya, we're lenient on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Masha enkein bebeya. That the halacha is, the Rav taught us on Daf Dalid, that nol de bezu, meteris bezu, if an egg was hatched on the first day of Yontif, Chutz Laretz, you're allowed to eat that egg on the second day of Yontif, because mederaisa, only the first day is Yontif. The second day is only Yontif because of Sveika de Yoyma, but that's halacha strictly by every Yontif. But by Rosh Hashanah, there we're more machmer. And Rosh Hashanah, we consider the 2 days as Kedusha Achas. And the reason why we're more machmer, as we discussed in that shir by Rosh Hashanah, because sometimes in the times of Chazal, the way the new moon, which Rosh Hashanah is on the new moon, Rosh Hashanah is on Rosh Chodesh, was determined, was by Edom coming to Beis Din, and Beis Din accepting their testimony and saying, now it's Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, if the Edom are going to come late in the day, we're concerned that they're going to not realize which day is the right day, Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, Chazal said that if Edom come late in the day, that both days are considered Rosh Hashanah, and both days are considered 1 day of Rosh Hashanah. And if both days are considered 1 day of Rosh Hashanah, then for a Levaya, as we said a moment ago, Chazal were lenient. But in all other situations, Chazal were not lenient. So how did you allow to have an eye treatment through a Nachri on the second day of Yontif? Amalei, to which he responded, Anoka Deis Rilei, I hold like Nador, that even by a Beya, not like Rav said, that a Beya that's Noila, that's born on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, is also on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, I actually hold that a Beya that's born on the first day of Rosh Hashanah is Mut on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. My Daitich, and he says, why would you want to be machmer? Because we have to be concerned, as we just discussed, that the Edom won't show up on the first day, or they won't show up until late in the first day, and therefore they're going to have to keep 2 days. Says the Gemara, I'm not concerned for that, because Amar of Chinen about Kahanim, Mois Ezra Eilech, Lemetzino Elam Uber. There was never a day that the Edom did not come on time on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. However, I saw that the Rishonim say that we who keep 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, keep 2 days of Rosh Hashanah because that's what Chazal said, that we should keep 2 days of Rosh Hashanah under all circumstances. And therefore the halacha is that we should treat the 2 days as Yom Richta and be machmer on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. We learned in the Mishnah, Vein oifim pitim gritzim ela rikikim. Tana bonu beshama oimrim, ein oifim pas ovo bepesach. We may not make thick bread on Pesach, or Beisil Matirim, and the Beisil say that we may. Kama Passover, how thick is Passover? Amar Funa Tefach. Beisil said that you can make bread, matzah, even though it's a tefach thick. Shekeim etzinu b'lechem upon him. The Torah, when it speaks about the lechem upon him, that they put into the shulchan every Shabbos, and the lechem upon him is a form of a Kabbal Mincha. And the Torah, when it speaks about the Korban Mincha, says, Kol HaMincha Asher Tikrivu LaHashem Lo Yisas HaChametz. And yet, the Lechem upon him was a Tefach. So we see that there is no problem of making bread that we don't want to become Chametz, a Tefach thick. Maskler Rav Yosef asks Rav Yosef to Rav Huna, yes, the Lechem upon him was a Tefach thick. But the reason we can be lenient in the Beis HaMikdash is Amr B'Zrizim. The people who baked the lechem upon him, as we learned, Masechta Yuma Daf Lamed Ches, were Beis Karmu, who were people who were great experts, and they knew how to make thick bread and still prevent it from becoming thick. Yoimru, but when somebody bakes bread at home, they're not that professional. Can we allow them to bake thick bread? Yoimru v'sheinu zrizim, and we should not be concerned that the matzah will become chametz. Im amru, furthermore, says the Gemara, bilpas amela, when they made the lechem upon him, they kneaded it very strongly, they banged on it, and that prevented it from becoming chametz. But when you bake bread at home, or you bake mats at home, you don't have that type of procedure. Yomer Pasha in a Mela, so how could we be lenient? Im Amru Be'etzim Yuvashim. The wood that was used in the Beis HaMikdash was very dry. And that's why the Gemara tells us that they cut all the wood that they're going to use in the Beis HaMikdash before Chamisha Asa Ba'av. because they should make sure that there was no moisture. And again, that prevents the bread from becoming chametz. Yoimer be'etz malachim, the wood that we use in our home is moist, and it could cause and doesn't burn and burn up the bread so dough. Imamer b'tanu cham, the oven that was used in the Beis HaMikdash was very hot, and that prevents the bread from becoming chametz. Yoimer b'tanu tzoinen, the oven that we use at home is not that hot, and therefore it takes longer to bake, and the dough can become chametz. Imamer b'tanu shel matris, the oven that was used in the Beis HaMikdash was a klisharis. And the halacha, the Gemara Masechtos Vochim, that Tzadik Vav teaches us that all klisharis must be made out of metal. So therefore, in a metal oven, it's very hot. And that will cause that the dough should get baked quickly and not become chametz. Yoimer b'tanu cheres, at home in those days, the ovens were made out of earthenware. They weren't that hot. And the bread takes longer to bake, and they should be concerned that it's going to become chametz. Amar Rav Yirmiyah ba'Abba, Shilas is Rebbe b'Yichud. I was once with Rebbe, and I asked my Rebbe this question, Manor Rav, and I asked him, what does it mean that you're allowed to bake bas ava? The Beis Hillel says you're allowed to bake bas ava. It means pas meruba. You're allowed to bake a lot of bread, even though you may not need all that bread. And it has nothing to do with chametz. The issue here is, are you allowed to bake bread on yontif more than you need? Beis Shammai says that you're not allowed to, because it's a tircha that is not letzayrich. But Beis Hillel, who has a much more lenient approach, as we've discussed so many times, to Eichel Nefesh, and Beis Hillel's opinion is, B'tarich shehotru letzayrich, hotru nami shaloi letzayrich. Beis Hillel says that if I'm going to cook, bake the bread that way, the oven, the other bread in the oven will be better. Therefore, we could be more lenient. And it has nothing to do with the thick bread. Everybody agrees at this point that thick bread may not be baked. Ikad Amri, a different version. Amrav Abba Bara, Amrav Shilas Es Rebbe Beyechad. Omani, according to this, who was the person that was asked? It was Rebbeinu HaKadosh. My Passover. What is the definition to a Passover? Pas Meruva. So the difference between the two Lashonos, according to the first version, Rav Yirmiyah asked this question from Rav, and according to the second version, Rav Yirmiyah says that Rav taught them that he asked this question to Rebbe. V'mai korolei pas ava. It was talking about a lot of bread. Why is it called pas ava? Says the Gemara, Mishun Nefisha Belisha. When you make a lot of bread, you have to do a lot of kneading of dough. Inami, Be'asra Da'itana, the vocabulary, the way in the place where this Tana lived, Pas Meruba, when they baked many loaves of bread, Pas Ova Korolei was called Pas Ova. Michti, ask the Gemara. The reason now we understand why Beis Shammai says we're not allowed to bake Pas Ova on Yontif is Mishum Dekotarach Tircha Deloi Tzarechu. Because Beis Shammai doesn't want us to work on Yontif unless what's absolutely necessary. If that's the case, my area Pesach. So then this shouldn't be a Pesach rule. I feel b'shay Yom Tov Manami. This should be a rule that applies to all Yom Tovim. Answers the Gemara, Enochanami. The issue why you're not allowed to bake a lot of bread is not limited to Pesach. It's all Yom Tovim. However, the Tana beyond the Pesach Koi, when they were learning this Braisa, when they were learning this Halacha, it happened to be they were learning it on Pesach. And that's why they applied it to Pesach. But it's not Halacha that applies strictly to Pesach. Tanya Nami Hachi. And indeed, the Braisa teaches us, Beis Shammai Omrim Ein Oifen Pas Meruba B'Yontif, we're not allowed to bake many breads on Yontif. And Beis Hillel, as we explained, has a more lenient approach on Mekel. Afhu, says the Gemara, just like we learned in the previous Mishnah there of Gamliel, was Machmer in certain places, like Beis Shammai. Here, we're going to learn where Gamliel was Mekel, like the Chachamim. Afhu Amishlosh Dvarim Lechakel, Mechabdim Beis Amitos, the earth in the homes in those days was made out of, the floor was made out of earth, and they used to, you're allowed to sweep out the earth. Even though by sweeping out the earth, you're flattening the floor, and that is considered boina. Since this is a place where they sweep every day, so since they sweep every day, we could assume that there are no gumas over there. And since there's no concern that there are no gumas, That's why it's mutter. Others say, the Ran says, that I'm not moving it directly. And since I'm not moving it directly, that's why I don't have a problem of moving muksa. They used to put incense on top of coals on yontif, and even though it involves making a fire and extinguishing a fire, the halacha is, Rav Gamliel says, you're allowed to, because this is included in the het of oichel nefesh. Vayisin gedim mekulas, when they used to make for Pesach by night, the Seder night meal, they used to prepare a roasted goat, b'leil psochim, even though it looks like a carbon Pesach. The Chum Oysrim, the Chum say all these three things may not be done. The concern for Ashvuya Gomes, that by Mugmer, there's a new factor to take into consideration. And that is, even though we keep on learning that one may do Melacha for Eichel Nefesh and Yontif, but we're only allowed to do Melacha for Eichel Nefesh and Yontif, something which is a Dova Shovel Chol Nefesh, that everybody equally enjoys. But if it's something which is not a Dova, which is not Shovel Chol Nefesh, not everybody does this, then we don't have the heter of Eichel Nefesh. And since only better people would do Mugmer, not everybody, only rich people did Mugmer, so it's not considered Dova Shovel Chol Nefesh, and therefore it may not be done. So there's a very famous Pnei Yeshua, a difficult Pnei Yeshua. The Pnei Yeshua says, that one is a lot of smoke on Yontif. Smoking is not a Dovah Shovel Chol Nefesh. Not everybody smokes. And we're just saying that something that's not everybody does is not considered mutter because of Oichel Nefesh. Says the Pnei Yeshua, in those days, they felt that smoking was actually healthy. It helped the digestive system. It helped the body. And something which is done for health reasons is a Dava hashavel chol nefesh, and therefore it may be done. But ask the Sefer Meribina that isn't actually true. Refu is not dava hashavel chol nefesh. Refu is only needed for somebody who's sick, but somebody who's not ill doesn't Baruch Hashem need a refu. So Rabbi Yoshev answers that question. He says that the halacha is that a person who's healthy could eat food that could eat all types of food that on Shabbos, but if it's a food that's only eaten letzorich refuah, one may not eat it on Shabbos if he's only eating it letzorich refuah, which is not, if it's a food that isn't considered a machal b'riyim, which isn't considered a regular food. And that's why Rabbi Yoshua says, even a healthy person should not take vitamins on Shabbos. He's not a chayla, but still, since the food that he's taking is a food which is not a regular food, it's a vitamin, Rabbi Yoshev held that even healthy people shouldn't take vitamins in Shabbos. Yontif, he held that you are allowed to take, even health, he said healthy people are allowed to take it, allowed to take vitamins. Not everybody needs a vitamin, says Rabbi Yoshev that everybody wants to be healthy. So since this person feels he'll get healthy through a vitamin, that makes it be a Dova Shovel Chol Nefesh. Here too, not everybody smokes, but if the Pnei Yeshua hold that everybody is going to get better by smoking, if it's a refuah, so everybody wants to get better, and therefore everybody therefore it's considered a Dova Shovel Chol Nefesh. However, Rabbi Yoshua says that this heter may only be applied in a situation, says Rabbi Yoshev, where there's going to be an immediate health benefit from taking that medicine. If there isn't immediate health benefit, then it's not mutter. Of course, this is a very difficult heter, because now we know that smoking is not healthy. And Chofetz Chaim already says that somebody should not smoke on Yontif, because in his time, they were already realizing that smoking was very unhealthy. Besides that, the issue that it's not a Dovah Shovel Chol Nefesh, and therefore one may not smoke, and of course one shouldn't smoke all year round, there are other issues that are involved with smoking, and that is, there are letters on the cigarette, and you're not allowed to burn those letters, you're not allowed to have You're not allowed to use one cigarette to light another cigarette, even for those who do smoke on Yontif. It says in Ma'amar Avasi, Machloikis, about doing this incense, Lagamer, Avala Riach, if you have the incense to give your clothing a good smell. The Chum say it's Osir, and Rabbi Gamliel held its mutter. Avala Riach, if you want to bring a nice smell to your home, the Rehakam mutter. Because that, everybody will agree, is in the category of Oichel Nefesh. Meisvei, it says in a Brayse, Ein Mechabdim Ben Mitzvah B'Yontif, V'Shebe Yisrael Gamliel Mechabdim. Rabbi Gamliel allowed them to sweep. Amr of Elizabeth Sadik, Pama Habim Nechnasti Ach Abel Beisar Gamliel, Vlay Mechabdim Beisar Mitis Beyontif. They did not sweep the floor. Al Mechabdim Noisar Be'er of Yontif. They would sweep the floor from before Yontif, or Parsim Lame Sadim, and then they would put material on the floor. Well, Amoch Sharchim Nechnasim, and the next day when guests would come in, Mesalkin Sadayim, they would take off this piece of material, Venimtsa Bais Meskabed Melov, and the home would be swept. Amalai, Im Kane, if that's what they did, F B'Shabbos Matalasis Kane. You would be allowed to do that in Shabbos. And that is not what we're learning in our Mishnah. It must be that when Gamliel was lenient, he allowed full-fledged sweeping. Continues the Brayse, Vei Manichnes Mugma B'Yontif, V'Shabbos Gamliel Manichin. Amr Velezer, Berg Tzodik, Pam Mahabe Nechnas De Acher Abba L'Beis Rav Gamliel, V'Loye Manichim Mese Mugma B'Yontif, Amavim Adug Sos, they brought pans, shabars are made out of metal, or ma'ashin oisam, they would fill them up with smoke, me'er of yontif, or paik in the kvei me'er of yontif. And these pans had holes in them, and they would fill up those holes before yontif. They would open up the holes, take out whatever they closed the holes up with, and like you had this beautiful odor in the home. It must be that you're allowed to do it on yontif. So we see that the Machloikes and Gamliel and the Chachamim is about Mugmer that we're using to bring a fragrance to the home, not just to the Begodim, not like Rav Asi said that when you're bringing a fragrance to the home, everybody holds its mutter. Ali Itmar Hachitma. What's the proper version of what Rav Asi said? Machloikes Larichboy. If you want to bring a nice fragrance to your home. Avel Gamer, if you want to bring a nice fragrance to your clothing. Even Rav Gamliel will hold that it's osur because it's a oichel nefesh for something which is not a dover shovel chal nefesh. It's not something that everybody does. And as we've been saying, if it's not a dover shovel chal nefesh, you don't have the heter of oichel nefesh.